When we imagine gathering together all of the characters that we need to tell the Christmas story, we know that we need Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. We probably remember that we need and want angels and shepherds. We might also want a star and the wise men. Some of us might recall that Herod is part of that story as well, and the animals in the stable. But we might forget that we need John the Baptist as well to tell the story. Not only does the miraculous conception, the story of his miraculous conception, precede the telling of the conception and birth of Jesus in the gospel according to Luke, the gospel from which we hear today, but as adults, the story that we hear today, John serves as the forerunner of Jesus in our biblical gospels. But as that forerunner and as a preparation for Christmas, we forget him rather easily, don't we? So today, early in the Advent season, during which we make our spiritual preparation for the coming of Christ, at the beginning of our hopeful and often joyful anticipation of Christmas arrival, John the Baptist sort of crashes our holiday party. You might recall, in each of the Gospels, before the start of Jesus' ministry, we hear about this strange fellow, John the Baptist. I like to say John the Baptizer, so we don't misconstrue his denominational affiliation. John the Baptizer. He had been preaching and teaching powerfully, so powerfully that people began wondering if, in fact, John the Baptizer was himself the promised Messiah or the ancient prophet Elijah returned. His challenge to the people of his day was that in order to be prepared for what God was about to bring to pass, you needed to repent and be baptized. And it was a message that was so compelling that it apparently became a spiritual trend. Crowds of regular folk, even religious leaders, and we later learn that Jesus himself went and came to be baptized by John. At this season, rather than reassuring us that we can happily sit back and enjoy the arrival of a wonderful time of warmth and light, he proclaims, "Prepare the way," and doesn't wish us a cheerful, happy holidays, nor does he wish us peace on earth, but repent. In the church, we joyfully sing, "Prepare the way," but we skip or hurry over that other part of John's message. Now, I think that's probably why we don't see a Precious Moments John the Baptizer on Christmas cards or his words written in gold glitter, "Prepare the way, repent. Merry Christmas." Someone should make that card. I would buy it and send it to a select few. These bracing words of John the Baptist confront us with what is an uncomfortable Advent truth and a part that we prefer to avoid, because John's Advent message seems to boil down to this: if we really want to prepare the way, we will have to change. Repentance, let us pause to remember, that is sometimes a troublesome word that we need to remind ourselves is not as toxic as we've sometimes heard it used. The Greek word behind the English word repent is the word metanoia, which simply means to turn around, to change one's mind, a change of heart or direction, to transform. So we may have heard the word repent as judgment, but it's an invitation and an opportunity for transformation and change. And I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded that I can turn around when I feel lost, that I can start over if I feel stuck, that I can make a turn and end up in a better destination. So turning around, repentance as a spiritual principle and life principle, is something I cannot live without. So John the Baptist comes to us during our pre-Christmas busyness and is a wake-up call in a way. Our eyes get distracted by, ooh, that shiny bauble over there. Our ears are lulled to sleep by over-familiar carols, and we fall into patterns of the season, some of them happy patterns, some of them broken patterns, and you know what I mean by that. It reawakens us. John's words reawaken us to pay attention to what it is we proclaim all season long, and that is the presence of the living God is drawing near. Turn around. You might miss it. Change, or you are not going to be ready. John echoes the words of the ancient prophet Isaiah, that God is about to break into the world in, of all places, the wilderness. God is at work. So, what's our job? John again echoes Isaiah, straighten the paths, make the uneven plain. So, anyone here have anything in their lives that might need a little straightening out or straightening up? Anything in our world need to be leveled out in order to see God's salvation today? In the wake of multiple shootings in the U.S. and abroad, protests still continuing to remind us of our country's institutionalized racism, one of the most urgent refugee crises in decades, and closer to home, a disruption and upheaval here at MCC Portland of some of our long-established patterns and ways of doing things. Frankly, it does feel a bit like being in the middle of the wilderness right now. And the pathway through it and out of it is not always clear, and it is certainly not quick or easy. Leveling mountains, obstacles, filling valleys and potholes. I appreciate that poem we heard from John Joseph Donders today because it reminds us to recognize the wilderness of our own modern lives. That wilderness in Palestine from which John preached was rocky and dry. It was a desert place that in many ways was probably rather quiet and empty most times. But let's face it, wild places are not always quiet or empty. Jungles, forests, tower with trees, and they tangle with undergrowth. They teem with wildlife, just as it is with the wildernesses we create as people. The wilderness where fears and violence, differences and dissension, rich and poor, mingle and they erupt in unpredictable ways. And I don't know about you, but there are wild places inside where chaos and conflict, tangles of thought and feeling, prejudice, memory, shame, obligation, it's a thick jungle in there. And sometimes even this preparation for Christmas creates a kind of wilderness with crowded, noisy distractions, both within and without. There may have been a path through that wilderness at one time, but if the way is traveled too infrequently, it is harder and harder to find and follow. So I think the sobering words of John the Baptist show up every year at just this time because our path needs clearing. Obstacles have fallen over it. Rocks are in the way. Uneven places have risen up that need to be leveled out. And the tangle of overgrowth has taken over. The way in the wilderness needs preparing. So an Advent discernment question for us is this. Do our lives make the wilderness grow thicker, or do they clear a way through it? Do our lives make the wilderness even thicker, or do they clear a way through it? Advent, some of you may know, is often called the winter Lent. And Lent are those weeks of spiritual preparation before Easter, both of them important seasons to anticipate the most central celebrations of the Christian story. Lent, we better know it as a time of spiritual practice and self-examination. But as a winter Lent, Advent calls us to prepare the way in the same way. It invites us into self-examination and even repentance, too. So in light of the wilderness in which we find ourselves in the middle, I have three specific things that I urge for Advent repentance. Remember, not the toxic repentance. Three things I urge for our Advent repentance. That was a long introduction to a short sermon. Some changes that might help prepare a way in the wilderness that you might find yourself in, that we might find ourselves in, to straighten out some of those crooked paths, to make some of the uneven ground just a little bit more level. Prepare the way first. Repent of denial. Repent of denial. Denial is a natural coping mechanism. We all do it, and it works until it stops working, which it ultimately will. But it can only hold reality at bay for so long. Before the painful reality comes crashing in, we can avert our eyes, but it doesn't change what's really happening. And frankly, anyone who does look and can still say, "It's all good," or "Everything is exactly as it should be," and does not see that something is grossly wrong in our world, in my opinion, is morally bankrupt. Let us repent of our denial. Prepare the way. Repent of defensiveness. Repent of defensiveness. Some of that may have just come up for you a second ago. It would all be okay if we just built a bigger and better wall. All our problems would be solved. If only more of the, quote, good guys had guns. Or, it's not my fault, I didn't do anything wrong. Some of my best friends are fill in the blank. It's really just denial in another costume, because it's the refusal to accept personal responsibility for the world in which you live and that you are part of it. Let us repent of defensiveness as well. Prepare the way. Repent of apathy. Let us turn around and repent from apathy. To remain silent or inactive in the face of injustice is a tacit stamp of approval. To not call injustice what it is, to refuse to interrupt it, is to silently place your endorsement on the status quo. To paraphrase Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the greatest tragedy is not the actions of bad people, but the silence and inaction of the good people. Is that the tragedy of our wilderness? This season, even today, we sing, O come, Emmanuel. But in our hearts, or under our breath, even just a little bit, maybe we add, O come, Emmanuel, but not quite yet. This is really not a good time for us. We have far too many things to do this season. Can we schedule this, say, sometime after the beginning of the year? And you know that, well, yeah. And you know, this wilderness isn't so bad after all anyway. We're used to it. O come, Emmanuel, but not quite yet. because we're not ready to change. Once again, it seems the best way to prepare for Christmas, at least a Christmas that will in fact keep Christ in it, is far more demanding than putting up any decorations, untangling strings of lights, avoiding overindulgence at holiday parties, finding the best bargain at the mall or on the internet. Getting into the Christmas spirit, really preparing for Christmas, is about saying yes to our own transformation. Yes to the transformation of the world. So just as we are about to be overtaken by the wilderness that Christmas can sometimes become, this perennially disturbing Christmas visitor shows up, John the Baptizer. And his message of preparation reminds us in no uncertain terms that there is a different way to be ready to celebrate. There's a different way to prepare ourselves and all flesh to see the salvation of God, to prepare the way to really be ready. We must be ready to change.